Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wesley Smith here, bringing you another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. Joined as always, Montana Miracle Man, Marvelous Max Ada.
How are you guys doing?
They're good, I think.
Good.
Probably
We're good, Max.
They're probably good.
They answered this time. First time ever.
And our special guest today, Miss Meg Squats. How are you doing, Meg?
It's me. I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
I'm in California, so can't complain.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. So before we get into things, first, a shout-out to the sponsors, Virus International, Grind Sports Nutrition, Trifecta Nutrition, and Falafels and Foam Rolling. It's a lifestyle. So today we just want to, it's all about Meg. It's everything
about
is about Meg. Meg, Meg, Meg.
That's like usually how I live my life, so this is working already.
So let's kind of get into the Meg backstory, because it's been, what, maybe 2 years since you've really, 3 years since you've gone from Meg Gallagher to Meg Squats.
I made a transition in giving myself an Instagram name.
And?
Yeah, a transition from normal person to social media.
Okay.
Person. Internet sensation. True or false, it was a secretive picture of my butt you took at the 2015 Arnold that launched your career.
I think Ryan took it, actually.
Oh,
Ryan's my boyfriend. And I think he took it from outside the cage, the animal cage, in, was that the Arnold? That was the first Arnold I ever went to. 2015? Wow, that wasn't that long ago.
That really wasn't.
No. Yeah, it was 2015 for sure.
Because
it was when the really good weightlifting was going on.
When did you start lifting weights? First ever experience touching a barbell or a dumbbell?
CrossFit in 2014.
Just, how'd you get into it?
I think I started running was like the first.
Why'd you start running?
Because I was getting fat. I actually started walking to work from my house. I used to live in D.C. And I started walking from like 2 miles to work every day. And I remember, this is actually, I don't know if this is a funny story, but I remember I was getting chub rub on my inner thighs from doing this walking. And I was dating a guy and he was so insecure about it. He was like, "What are these hickeys on your inner thighs?" And I had to explain like, "No, I'm just kind of chunky right now and I'm walking to work." So that was when I realized I should probably work out more.
Well, you played college basketball, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And I ran cross country in college, but after college, I really didn't do. I was just working, looking for a job, found a job, and then was really focused on my career.
Did you work out and stuff for the sports, or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like training all the time, and I mean, we weren't really lifting real weights, but we had some like in the off season training and stuff like that. So I was pretty in shape, especially when I started running cross country in college, because I ran in high school and then joined my sophomore year. I didn't run my freshman year. Once I joined that was like one of my first like real body transformations where I lost a lot of like college freshman 15 that we all go through. So
I actually lost 15 pounds when I got to college.
Why? Not enough food?
I didn't like the food very
much. It's pretty bad. In my college,
I only went to college for 3 weeks.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I still had the freshman 15 in those 3 weeks.
Well, I remember everyone coming back from summer and getting really bad diarrhea the first week of college. Everyone. And it was
This isn't the PowerCast. We don't do poop stories.
Oh, well. but it would just like flush you out, I think. And
the food would?
Yeah, because there was something in the food
that's food at that point.
I don't know. I just know everyone had bad diarrhea the first week of college. Something about the food, because it wasn't that great, too. So
I feel like the
after
chef,
the first week.
You know, push the fish, guys. It's about to turn.
All right, so we've got we're walking to work in D.C., working in advertising at that point?
Or? Yeah, I was a graphic designer for a law firm at that point. Oh, cool. So I was, like, working kind of very boring DC culture job. I worked at a law firm, and then I worked for a business, like a B2G business, where it's like business to government. So they did marketing and sales to a government. B2G. I always say that, and people are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I designed and did, like, advertising for them. Yeah, so.
So you're walking to work, dealing with the chub rub, and you're like, all right, time to do this CrossFitting stuff I saw on TV, or what?
I ran a half marathon with my mom, and then I did that in the fall, and then I kept seeing CrossFit. I think I was, like, looking on Pinterest and kept seeing jacked girls, and I thought that was kind of cool. And so I found a gym, or a gym that my friend went to, had CrossFit, like a CrossFit option. So I just signed up as a New Year's resolution, and I think I started, like, January 2 as my intro class. And I did CrossFit maybe for a full year, and I got really, really into it. Like, I was really into CrossFit.
Well, that's weird. Most people don't get super into CrossFit.
I know. I was, like, the only one who really, really was excited.
Okay, so that's unique.
So I was one of those people. And then it's not that I was bored with CrossFit, but I started noticing changes in my body, and I wanted to do a bikini show to really see how far I could push it. And so I signed up for a bikini show, dieted for an entire 8 weeks. Pretty serious stuff.
That's what I'm planning on doing for my bikini show.
You're almost there. I made a YouTube video yesterday, and I said that you were 8 weeks out. I said, you can probably tell.
The comments are, oh, this is bullshit. He's never going to make it.
He should fire his coach.
That's pretty good.
You better start water loading now.
Yeah. So after you do this bikini show, what's interesting to me is you saw a bunch of jacked girls, and that was, like, cool to you.
Yeah.
Not, like, a sort of negative, like, oh, I don't want to be like that, or...
No.
Was there a particular CrossFit girl you remember being fitspirational?
Yeah, probably you? Camille LeBlanc. Ah. So she's a little bit I would say she's not as lean as the average CrossFit girl. But I remember seeing, like, pictures of her, and she's the only one that... Maybe, like, Lauren Fisher at that time. But they are not...
Lauren Fisher, like, 14 years old at this point?
Yeah, but she was, like, fucking killing it at CrossFit.
Yeah.
Maybe Christmas Abbott, too. I had, like, my eye on her. Just, like, standard. This is a few years ago, though, so people coming into CrossFit now may not even have any idea who those people are. But, yeah, I remember seeing a few pictures of them. So now, like, maybe my ideal body type is, like, Brooke Entz is more, like, that seems cooler to me because she's, like, way more jacked than, like, what Camille was at that time. Also, at that time, the girls weren't that big. Now they're...
Yeah, to, like,
probably 20 plus pounds.
To, like, toe dip into the idea of jackness and just kept getting.
Yeah. And then more. I was getting jacked too. And so I was, you know, as my body went through its own transformation, I kept thinking it was more cool. So I never woke up and was like, oh, I don't want to be this jacked.
That's happened to me many times. Too many muscles. Time to stop working out for a couple of years. Let it settle down.
So you do the bikini show, and where does powerlifting come into this?
I got fat after the bikini show, and I didn't want to move as much.
Was it like a, oh my God, I'm so sick of dieting, I'm just going to...
It was like, I can't...
Binge it up?
Yeah. I was, like, binging like crazy, so I gained, like, maybe 25 pounds of probably all fat. I don't know, maybe not, but it felt like all fat, and I was really jiggly. So instead of going back to CrossFit, where I was moving around all the time, like, my body wasn't comfortable or ready to do that, and I was really insecure. And so on the second floor of my gym, they had powerlifters, whereas on the first floor was the CrossFit floor. And so I just, like, walked up there and took a look around, and I had a few friends who were lifting some pretty heavy weights, and all of them are still powerlifters. So I started training with them, and we were preparing for, I think a lot of us first did a strongman event. Yeah. We did a strongman show, just like something local. And then we all together, a lot of us prepared for the American Open that was in Washington, D.C. So that was my first meet.
And the first time that we met, I guess.
Yeah. Do you remember how we met?
From Jacob or...
No. Came
to the booth?
No. So we were... They had an Aleco setup. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they had a bunch of fake plates.
Yeah.
And at this point, I had never pulled sumo before, so I was just joking around. And it was like... The bar was fully loaded, so I don't know how much weight was on it, maybe.
It was like the 2.5 kilo reds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That looked like 25s.
Yeah.
Wait, that was fake?
Was it fake? I don't think it was.
Man.
They probably had some real ones.
I'm pretty sure I set some PRs there. I'm going to have to change.
But I was like setting up, pretending like I was setting up for sumo, just joshing around with my friends. And you walked by and you were like, actually, that looks pretty good. And so from that point on, I switched to a sumo puller, so.
I'm sorry.
Don't let them.
That was my first Chad Wesley Smith interaction.
I was probably judging you the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure you were like, this girl's
That was
an idiot.
Actually in total sarcasm. That's pretty good. That looks great.
I'm sure it was.
Very standard story for getting into powerlifting. Find yourself depressed, overweight. You stumble into a room with a bunch of other people that are powerlifting, and you're like, it's the end of the road. I guess I'll just do this.
Yeah, this seems like less
work. Exactly. It's like very depressing.
Most powerlifting stories begin that way. Well, I woke up in a gutter one morning, and I realized I should probably try powerlifting.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So then powerlifting, that's kind of your main thing now? Like, you don't really do any CrossFit or anything anymore?
No.
You have
no.
Dabbled in a little weightlifting, though.
I've
seen some of the videos.
Only for the clickbait purposes.
Well, we didn't get a very clickbaity thumbnail for
We got to go back.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Pope is gone. I'll take her place.
Yeah.
No one will be able to tell the difference.
That'll just really do well.
Photoshop the face on. People can't tell.
On Chad's body. Yeah. Kristen Pope's face.
Either way.
So, yeah, every once in a while we'll dabble. I've done... competed in some strongman stuff. All of this is like local, not really at any crazy level. I've done a few weightlifting meets and a few powerlifting meets, CrossFit and bikini. So
you say powerlifting is your favorite?
Yeah, it's what I'm best at least compared to the other people lifting. So, you know, I can gauge it to where I'm like, rather than being number 400 best in my weight class, in my federation, I'm closer to, like, I think at nationals, I was at, like, 12th finished highest total in the 63 kilos. So that's a little bit more inspirational to keep me going to try and match that or do better next year.
So, do you feel that doing, like, if you weren't, like, oh, okay, I want to try and be 11th or 10th or whatever at nationals, like, you would still be, like, super into just powerlifting, or you think you'd try a bunch of other stuff? Like, more is it, like, sometimes it's, like, for fun, and because it's fun to be decent at it, like, you want to do that, versus, like, oh, you know, you enjoy all the other stuff that, like, you would kind of, like, pursue CrossFit a little bit, powerlifting a little bit, like, kind of just a mix of everything, or...
I almost wonder if I was... I think I would... If I were progressing, I would probably stick with powerlifting. So if I was consistently getting better, regardless of where I was, were ranked, I'd probably still do it. I think my training would look a little bit different if I wasn't, you know, framing my year around peaking for a few meets a year. And maybe I'd be... I don't know. I think I would need something competitive to keep me going, even if it was like trying to see playing more with what my body looked like or I don't know, I'd probably dabble more than what I already do in the other disciplines. So
what was it that really spurred you for you're into powerlifting, you do American Open, you get all this internet buzz going from pictures of my butt, and then and then you're like, okay, I better capitalize on this heat and start doing the tubes, start doing YouTube stuff. What was it that made you want to pursue
the tubes?
Yeah.
I was uploading YouTube videos of just my training even when I was doing CrossFit. So I would just post... It would still be, like, my best lifts. So in CrossFit class, if we were deadlifting that day, I would still upload just training, kind of like a Pete Rubish style, just my training video, and that's it. No extra fluff.
You washing machine. And
oh, yeah.
Yep. I wish it would be that cool. but, yeah, I would just upload training footage. And then I'd I did like some crazy program with a friend who you can, I was just, we're calling it PR every day. So I ran like the base of Small Love when I first started powerlifting, and I was going into the gym and trying a new rep max after that every day. So, it would be like, maybe I tried my 10 rep max and tried to beat it, which at the time I had never really tested my strength. So it would be something new every day.
Yeah.
And, I ran that and I eventually hit a 315 pound squat, and I made like my Road to 300 video. Okay. So I made that on YouTube and compiled, and I was coming from CrossFit, fresh off the CrossFit boat. So I was failing every day essentially and like bailing my lift. So it was like really dramatic video with a cool song. And
was there black and white and slow-mo?
No, no slow-mo. Come on. It wasn't that
lame. Voiceovers or anything?
No, no voiceover. It was just a song. And then my like 800 fails. And every once in a while I'd put like a made lift. So it looked like, oh, she's failing. So inspirational. When like
be inspired. Yeah,
in retrospect, it's like, oh, you shouldn't be training like that at all. But that was my first big video. It got shared on Reddit's fitness, like the main fitness subreddit. And it was on the top page, on the front page of Reddit for a while. On the fitness subreddit, I guess, for a while. So that was my first like viral video. I think it got 100,000 views, and I had like essentially no subscribers in the first week or so.
Just think, Max, if they would have had video cameras in Montana.
Oh my God!
And you were squatting every day.
Described very similar to what I used to do.
Negative 25 degree garage.
You
could have been a YouTube sensation.
There was YouTube back then. Was even a thing. The YouTube was so. I remember when you could go on YouTube and search for new weightlifting videos, and like maybe there'd be one, and then like there'd be days where there were no more new weightlifting videos yet. Now it's like there's probably 20,000 uploaded a second.
Who was the first person? Who's the first individual who consistently? Who consistently like uploaded videos of any kind of lifting?
Well. I mean, if you want to go way back, there used to be a guy, he still lifts, Ben Overkamp. Probably no one's heard of him. But he used to put, like, there was videos on, they would just be on, like, a private server.
Oh, wow.
And it would be, like, lifting videos from, like, the 1999 or 2002, you know, national championships. And I remember looking at, like, videos of, like, Matt Bruce, who I think he runs
Brute strength.
Matt Bruce was like lifting back then. Kendrick was probably still like an 85, maybe even a 77. The videos of him. So that was my first experience to like watching videos on the internet. And then we had like VHS stuff. That's how long ago that stuff was going.
The Bulging Bulgarians. Yeah. Or, what's that video called?
Yeah. The like the Iron Mind videos. The Unbelievable Bulgarians.
Unbelievable Bulgarians.
Yeah. But that stuff was
same diff.
Super old. And then
Bulgarian,
you saw like Bulgarian. here and there, here and there were videos of lifting. You know, people would put it up. There was a lot of like, what was a website maybe?
Go Heavy?
No, Go Heavy was around, but there was another one, like a powerlifting one. And there was, I remember going on there and thinking like, well, this is really cool. There's like 40 videos of people deadlifting and squatting. And there was like Kyle Gulledge pulling like 830.
Yeah. I remember that guy.
People that like now, no one, that haven't been in the sport for 15 years. And there was like, you had to like search out for videos and stuff. And then like tutorials and stuff didn't even, that was not even a concept.
Right.
You know, and it was like just weird. Like there was a, like nothing. And then all of a sudden...
If you could go back in time.
Right?
For real.
Just 2006.
I've been writing my own program since I was 14 for the most part. So that was, you know, 2000, 2001. And just trying to figure stuff out with that. Taught myself how to squat, taught myself how to bench, taught myself how to deadlift. Just kind of did it. But so you get this the Road to 300 video. It kind of gets a little bit of viralness. Virality?
A virus. It gets a virus.
Okay. It catches a virus.
And then I was watching other YouTubers, and there was a lot of, like, coaches. Not a lot, but there were coaches who had, like, your channel, for instance, that I would watch often. But then there was a certain kind of YouTuber like the Chelsea Lifts and the Max Tunings and the Nikki Blackadder and the Christian Guzman. And I would pay attention to them because they were talking to the camera. And I got to, like, watch them live their lives and see how, if we were to, for lack of a better word, call them athletes, and see how, like, an athlete or someone who's really, really into this fitness lifestyle is, like, living their actual life. So I thought, that seems cool and, like, something I would do. I don't know enough to really teach. I can teach people what I know, and I can teach people what I've learned, and I can definitely teach people what I'm learning as I'm learning it, which I thought, that's a good format for me to do that, because I was, at the time when I first started, I was still learning so much, and I was, like, discovering what it meant to even be a powerlifter and what it meant, like, even some of the small nuances that people don't, there's no guide to, like, really even competing in a meet or, like, choosing a federation or packing your bag for a meet, something as small as that, where I think a lot of people are discouraged or, like, don't know where to start. So I was like, let me just live my life and, like, put it on YouTube and see if I can help people with some of these small nuances that aren't really...
Yeah, it was more of like a learn with me rather than learn from me or...
Right, right. Because I didn't, at that point when I started, I didn't have really anything to teach anyone. And I started playing around with, like, my own programming and that, or, like, if I were getting coached at the time, I would talk about, like, what my coach had me do, or if I was running some general program, I would talk about that and, like, here's the free link if you want to try it kind of thing.
Well, that's something that I've always appreciated, you know, in the 2+ years, seeing your stuff kind of grow, and there's so much information available and so many people kind of pretending to be experts.
Right.
People who maybe didn't have the self-awareness to say the way that you did, you know, I don't have everything to teach to people right now, so I'm just going to kind of learn and show my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a lot of people who are in that same position, I think, who are like, I don't have anything to teach to anyone, but I'm still going to try and do that anyway.
Right. Yeah, because I think I'm still very new, and you guys are talking to me about a server that was on the internet. That's how people watch powerlifting. And that's really interesting to me, and I think that it's my obligation to if since I have this following, and it came pretty quick, and it also came from people who aren't in strength sports. It's like one of my biggest collaborations, and probably the thing that really gave me the biggest uptick was collaborating with Max Tuning, who is a strong powerlifter, but he's not a coach. Like, he is just this kind of lifestyle vlogger who is entertaining and creates cool videos that definitely teach people, but he doesn't try to. And I thought, you know, I saw people like him, but I was more interested in the strength sport side of things. And I wanted people to learn by watching my channel because I'm not that interesting. I don't want people to, like, see what I eat for breakfast every day. I don't think that's really interesting. But I, you know, I still need to pay homage to the people who I looked up to and the people who paved the way to allow me to feel comfortable to be in a gym. So, and just like I said, I'm not that interesting. So me using my following to leverage relationships and kind of approach Jen Thompson, like, I'll never forget the day she approached me and said, oh, I've been watching your YouTube channel. It's like, oh, sweet, because I want you to teach everyone how to bench press.
Yeah.
Because at, you know, there are so many people who are way stronger than me, but I have a bigger following then. So I think it's my responsibility to make sure that people know I'm not the strongest person in the world and I have a lot to learn. So, like, here's this person who can teach us a whole, like, 10,000 things that I can't teach you. So I've always felt like it was my responsibility to do what I've been doing. And it's been good for my performance. I get to learn from some of the best coaches in the world and strongest people in the world, which is really cool. And I get to also allow them a platform to teach other people and allow athletes of the sport that I now have a business off of.
Yeah.
I get to allow them to have exposure that they may not have had before. So it's exciting.
It is. And it's a great responsibility. It's a great role. It's something I'm glad that you take, you know, you see the value of and you take seriously in being that kind of middle woman sort of to a lot of the people who have a lot of great information but wouldn't know how to get it out there themselves,
right.
Wouldn't maybe even be interested or comfortable trying to do it themselves. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you to Virus International, sponsor of the Jug Life podcast. Visit virusintl.com and use Jug, J-U-G-G, for 10% off your next order. So in the last couple months, you've even gone another step farther, because for a lot of the Meg Squats timeline, you were still working in advertising, mm-hmm. working in New York, and then a few months ago, you decided to just go all in.
Yeah. We started making some money. I started getting some recurring sponsorships. So now I work with, a supplement company and I work with, RP. So we're like consistently making some money with sponsorships. The following has gotten bigger. So whatever affiliate deals I have also grown. And then we started selling merchandise. So like Strong Strong Friends t-shirts. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen my YouTube channel, I always greet the people who are watching as my Strong Strong Friends. People are always like, I'm not strong, but most of the time people are strong. If you're lifting and you're watching this stupid YouTube channel about powerlifting, you're probably stronger than most people. So we have a brand called Strong Strong Friends where we sell t-shirts. We recently opened up programming, so it's like 12-week strength programs for, it could be a range of people. We have a couple of athletes who are like powerlifting and entering in competitions and really, really strong. But the most I would say are people who have competed a few times, or are just getting into maybe their first powerlifting meet or just toying with the idea of being strong and interested in doing programming that focuses on improving the squat, bench, and deadlift. So we do customized programming options. We also have a couple of options for people who are maybe more beginner. So to do something like get your first pull up, that's a big program that we run.
Is that something you can help me with?
I can help you.
I'll need 3 blue bands, please.
You might need 4. I'm just kidding. No, you don't need any bands. You can do it. We don't use bands in our program.
Okay.
So don't worry.
No bands.
Fuck that.
What, doesn't it get easier at the top? And shouldn't that be harder with a band? And it makes it harder.
Speed. What if we go bands from the bottom and the top? Chains from the bottom, bands from the top.
It balances out.
It's, you can just use the, you can, we'll just put you on the machine where, I don't even know what to call it.
I should have Marissa hold my feet anyways.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because she's strong. She can support you. So
that's a big part of her.
It'd be expensive training, though, to have every athlete like or every program come with Marisa.
It would be.
That's what it has to be. We have to do it. Just, we're giving them the best.
That's the only way.
So with that, you've grown the Meg Squats brand, the Strong Strong Friends brand. I'm sure hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are watching your channel, think to themselves, I would love to, whether it be their side, develop a side business mm-hmm. in fitness, social media, or, to jump in and try and do it as the whole
deal. A full-time gig.
What do you think are some important things that you've done that have kind of helped grow your brand?
Well, I think it's important to note that it took a long time for me to really commit to making it a full-time gig. And even then, I still have a non-fitness-related side business that I run. So I have a background in graphic design. So I still design for I'm still, like, running a consulting business as well.
So kind of flipped from that being your main and the fitness being the side hustle.
Exactly. So now my side hustle is, like, my former full-time gig. And I'll probably keep that because I enjoy it. I probably need something that's not in the fitness industry to give me a breather. And also, you never know. Like, I mean, Max and I were talking about all of my stuff is online and, I want to ride this wave as long as I can. And I want to continue to make an impact, but there's so many people coaching and it can only continue to get bigger. So I think I'm all in with what I'm doing, but I'm highly employable. So I think it's important to, you know, keep that in mind, whether it be, I think being a personal trainer alone, like an in-person personal trainer, maybe that could be your backup gig. But it took me a long time to get to where I am now. And through that, I was only doing it because I really had fun doing it. Mm. And I, not to get too woo-woo, but I felt like it was my obligation to do that because I saw a gap and I saw a need for someone like me in the space. Whereas I was lucky to walk into a gym that was really welcoming to me, where I think a lot of people are missing that, and a lot of people don't know like the nuances of getting strong. So yeah.
What do you think the, because you kind of alluded to it, what do you think the future of this stuff is, mm-hmm. in terms of like I always think to myself, like the future of like online training and all these things is going to be different, or even just the future of the sports are going to be different.
I mean, right.
Obviously not, fitness isn't going to change. People need to get fit and those things. But, cause it's funny, like maybe what, 1950s, 1960s, Jack LaLanne was doing the same thing.
Oh yeah. Right.
He was humongous and he was, you know, on national TV. Like he was doing exactly what everyone here is doing, you know, like not
minus the amazing movie parodies.
Yeah. Really not a good parody. But he was doing, you know, basically doing CrossFit before it existed and basically, you know, espousing health and giving advice online or on the TV. And that's the same kind of thing as it is now, but technology has allowed us to use, like, do remote coaching. Because before, it was just, no one had a video camera. So you couldn't film yourself and send it to somebody, and then the knowledge wasn't dispersed enough for you to say, okay. I mean, I remember my first coach did some, like, remote coaching via email and phone calls with people, you know, because he knew them, and he would, like, hey, tell me how the workout went, and they would do it. They, you know, it's the same principle.
Steve Gottlieb's email?
Yeah, with Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He helped him in the beginning, kind of like, you know, did these things. As technology gets better and better to the point where, like, maybe who knows what exists, but it might totally change the face of that.
Right.
What do you think is, like, the future of not just Meg Squats, but of, like, where does the industry itself go? If you have any ideas.
Yeah, I think with me, my lifters don't hire me because I'm an elite coach or I can make them the strongest people in the world. I can definitely make them strong, and I can guarantee that. But I don't think anyone is working with me with the intention of becoming this elite athlete and, you know, taking over the weightlifting scene, whereas they might hire you for that. I think people hire a coach. You know, people aren't hiring coaching, they're hiring coaches.
Right.
So people who are subscribing to my brand and people who believe in my message are hiring me for my personality, and they're hiring me because they know I care. And they're hiring me because they believe in this idea of like getting really strong and being yourself and going into the gym and having fun and maybe not taking it so seriously. Right. So I think if there's anyone out there who is interested in becoming an online coach, I think definitely branding yourself, and that doesn't have to mean having like a cool logo or like having cool t-shirts, branding yourself into figuring out what kind of client you really want to attract and what kind of coach you really want to be is important. So defining that, and I've defined that as, you know, I define it with everything that I do because it's just who I am.
Yeah.
So I think as long as I am being true to myself and being an honest person, I think it won't be hard for us to find lifters to join that, you know? Whereas I think if people have too general of a focus or aren't really connecting or engaging with their audience, those are the people who are going to fall off.
Right.
So I think it's really important to really define who you are, and, you know, continue to, maybe that even means cutting people off. I put out an email the other day or a couple weeks ago that said, make or it was a New Year's email and said, make 2017 your bitch. And I got a response where someone was highly offended.
Yeah.
By, and she gave me this long response on how offended she is. And that's just not someone I want to work with. So I could police everything that I say and make sure that I'm PC with everything, which I don't think that's too terrible of a statement to make.
Yeah.
But I don't want to work with someone who's going to be offended by everything. So it's almost good to like really define who you are and like have a powerful voice in the industry, even if some people fucking hate you. Like, I think that's fair.
Someone once gave me advice about business, and he said that people should either love you or hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to be absolutely, because if they love you or hate you, you're very decisive in your choice of what you are, right? You're defined very clearly as, I'm the guy who, I do the bands and chains workout. That's my thing. And, like, absolutely you stick to what you are, and your brand is very consistent. Whereas if you're trying to always change a little and please, and like, oh, I'll do this or I'll do that, or, kind of like everything, or you just get washed out because it's like you don't really have anything to sell anyone. If people have,
if you're trying to be everything to everyone, then you're nothing.
Yes,
to everyone.
You just kind of fall beside. Yeah,
I personally prefer for people to hate how much they love me.
Yeah, that's a hard one though. Those eyes just draw you in. You can drown
it's
in
true.
There.
Zoom be in. Be careful.
On get a close up.
They might all get pregnant. So
again.
Grind Sports Nutrition is the official supplement provider of Team Juggernaut. Designed by Renaissance Periodization, there are no-nonsense supplements to fuel your hardest training. Use JUG10 at grindsupplements.com.
If someone got into that stuff, YouTube, all those things, what would be like the top three mistakes that you've made that you would be like, hey, don't make this mistake for total new person?
I think I still struggle with this, but sometimes I'll look at other creators and I think, oh, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even physique-wise, I'll see who's the most popular YouTuber, which physique looks nothing like mine, and I'll get a little bit insecure how I should look a certain way, or maybe I should be a little leaner. But I don't think anyone's watching my channel because I have like the best body. There are plenty of other women to watch who have amazing physiques and feature that, whereas I don't. I mean, I do sometimes, but I try not to make that the focus.
That's the majority of why people are watching ours.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if people want to see great comedy, fantastic information, check. Steely
double
blue
check.
Eyes. blue eyes. Two for one there. So what other ones? That's one.
I think definitely featuring other people is probably what I see most channels lack, and including other people on your content.
Sort of isolating
like this
yourself.
Kind of knockout collabo.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like, one, you're pulling in other audiences. Right. And two, you're providing expertise that you don't have. And just a different perspective, and it makes it more interesting. Like, being here is so fun. It makes it so easy because there's so many other lifters and people that in my last video I just was fucking with everyone. So it was like what I thought was hilarious. So it like made for a great video because people can get the vibe and people want to feel good, and they want to be inspired to go to the gym. So they want to see that it's fun.
Right.
I think that idea is really important too. Like, that if you're doing stuff that you really like, and it's entertaining and fun to you, it's going to show through. Like, when I think about making when we make these stupid parody videos and stuff, like, I guess I think that about if people are going to think it's funny or not. But for the most part, we're just doing it because we think that it's really fun to go and, like, judo chop watermelons in half and tickle each other and feed each other ice cream. I mean, what two red-blooded American men don't like that.
Well, that's the only way, too, that you're going to keep making things anyway. So if you're not having fun, and I see this a lot, too, where people, and I've done it in a few videos where I'm just like, why did I waste my time talking about this thing that I think people want to talk about, but I have no interest in exploring. So I think if you're going to burn out if you're just doing what everyone else is doing and it's not something that you're truly passionate about. Yeah.
I feel like that's one reason that your channel is enjoyable to me, in that, like Chad was saying too, it's like it's more like journalist stuff. You're going and like sharing, like, hey, like I have this opportunity to go see these people and do this stuff, and like come with me and look at it. And that's inviting more so than being like, hey, like, oh man, check out this new, like, my friend can't squat, let me fix it. And oh, I'm also selling a program. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, like, some people are just constantly like barrage of sell,
right?
And everything you see about it is just them trying to like capitalize on something and always try to sell something. But in yours, it's like, oh, this is cool. Like, she's going around like learning from somebody and like talking to them. And then there's not that sense that you're like, you have any like resistance to like watching it, where like I might get deceived, or like she might try to like convince me to buy something.
Yeah.
You know, it feels very like it's authentic, right? I mean, you're enjoying like, oh, this is a cool person, I'm learning from, you know, whoever. And that's neat. I think that, you know, Mark Bell does that too. Like, I feel like a lot of times he's like, he'll talk to people, bring people in, talk to them, and like, it's not just about like, you know, pushing something like, underlying.
This fit tea I'm drinking is so delicious.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's not making me bloat out of my waist trainer.
Yeah. And I think there's a balance between, you know, your selling and not selling. I think if someone is going to, first of all, I mean, anyone knows, like, someone's not just going to buy your program because they feel like it. Yeah. You know, you need to offer something and let them in. And I don't want anyone to buy my stuff anyway unless they really like me and they want it. So I feel like when you're a content creator, or I like to think of myself as a creator and a curator of a lot of other things, because I bring people on and it's not just me. I think it's only in your best interest to really offer great shit before you're asking someone to accept an upgrade, you know? Right. And that's all we are selling. If it costs money, it's just an upgrade and something that's more customized to you as a lifter than it would be from what you can already learn on the channel. So most of the stuff, I mean, we have like free stuff on our website, and you can get a lot of, we're already giving so much free stuff, and I want to do that because I think it's our company goal. And my goal as Meg Squats is to get a barbell in every woman's hands. And at least I just want them to feel it and just like feel what it could be, or have the idea of what it feels like to get strong. Because I think that's like my responsibility as a human on this earth, is to just promote strength and get more people lifting. So that's like what I'm here on this earth to do. And I mean, I still need to eat food and like travel to California so that I can be here with you. So I still need to make some money, but it's not the goal of what we're doing is always just to make the world a better place. And I think I personally would feel like a skeevy human if I was just only banking on the community that has already, just by letting me like witness it, has already done so much for me and like my personal growth.
I know, you know, as far as that idea of focusing on the user experience rather than focusing on like the product part of things from a business standpoint, the Zucks, as I call him, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah. Because he's your personal friend.
Yeah, they like this.
What up, Zucks? I remember him saying something to the effect in an interview or whatever that I read, asking about all these different features and stuff of Facebook and apps within it. And he said, we don't make all of those features and apps to make money. He said, we make money so we can make all the features and apps.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it was all focused on the end user experience.
Right.
And that's something that's easy to say, you know, when you have $20 billion, whatever he has. But I think that is a great business lesson for anyone to know that the training stuff and fitness and all this, it's, yeah, you know, maybe it's selling a product or anything, but it's first selling a relationship. It's building trust with the person, it's you know, building trust with the audience, and it's showing them how can I help you. That's, I know, what we're always trying to answer the question of how can we help powerlifters, weightlifters, physical therapists, personal trainers, whatever, be better at their job, better reach their goals. And you know, we're trying to do that through the educational content and all that. And I mean, that would be definitely my number one advice for anyone is focus on that, on your customer's experience.
Right. And I think in the fitness industry as a whole, no one is in it to make a crazy amount of money, period. We're doing it because we either really love lifting or love coaching lifters or like people. And I think those are all the reasons why I'm in it. Like, I just started making YouTube videos and found it really interesting to talk to athletes and coaches and other people who are learning how to lift. And I just kept doing it. If we didn't love doing what we do, there would be like, it wouldn't be an industry at all. So I think that's how we all get into it. I think maybe especially the scalability of being online can make things a little muddy because it takes the personal relationships somewhat out of it. But I think, you know, we all got here and we all got in the industry because we really want to help people.
What's interesting to me is like the online stuff is so different than like how I learned to coach and those kind of things were always like, oh, you sit there on a chair, a nice chair, my chair, make sure you guys aren't sitting in my chair. And you're watching people and you're telling them and you're doing this. And as a coach, you can become stagnant because you just do the same thing and you say the same thing. And what's cool to me is like the online stuff has changed a lot of how I think, because a lot of it's like, how do I get this to work in a way that's different than I normally am used to? Like, okay, you're doing it wrong, I tell you what to do right, and then you do it right. But now we don't have that because the time frame is different. So you do it wrong, then you send me a video, then I have to tell you to do it right, then you have to do it again.
Right.
And it's like, I like it because it forces me to be creative and try to conceive of different ways to get the same process, or different ways to get the same outcome with a different process. Right? You're coaching people a different way. You structure programs differently. You find ways to be creative with your solution to the same problem. But it's interesting because I like the fact that it is challenging in that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Trifecta provides pre-cooked organic food delivered right to your door weekly to help fit with your Renaissance diet, fuel your hard training, improve your recovery, and make your life easier. Visit trifectanutrition.com/juggernaut. So what's coming up next for Meg Squats?
I've been traveling for like the past 2 months, I think. My boyfriend, who I'm looking at right now, is right in front of me. Ryan, he just finished his comeback season. He's an alpine snowboarder. Am I saying that right? And so he's been competing, and so we're going to compete snowboarding every winter-ish. So I'm going home after this trip, thank God. But
To your new home.
To my new home in Whistler, Canada. There's a mountain there, imagine that.
Just heard this, that your boyfriend's actually Canadian.
He's Canadian.
Just taken aback.
Yeah, he's Canadian. So it was actually poor timing because we couldn't explain to anyone that we were moving to Canada when we were preparing to do so.
The whole Trump thing, huh?
Well, yeah, because
I was one of the first people to know.
We couldn't tell anybody because Ryan was still working, and so we were making all these plans, and I couldn't announce it on YouTube. And then, like, 4 days later, after the election results, we could finally explain. And so I make a YouTube video that's like, I'm not moving because of Donald Trump, I swear, you know, because I try. I mean, I take a political stance in some light, but I try to mostly not make that the topic of conversation. But, yeah, that was an interesting like storyline to navigate. But yeah, we moved up, basically so Ryan could train, in Whistler, Canada, and it's stunning. So yeah, I'm like
Whistler's
almost Canadian.
Pretty, huh?
It's very pretty.
Very nice.
Yeah. It's very, very beautiful. I think the West Coast just in general is like, can't really go wrong.
It's better than the East Coast. Are you saying that?
I mean to say
it's not the dumps,
it's
like the West
prettier. Coast. It's prettier than the East Coast, for sure. There's no arguing that, I think.
Yeah.
The water's cold as shit, though.
What's
up with that? It is kind of winter. But it's always cold.
If it gets cold enough,
that Alaskan current. Nuh-uh. but we're, right now, we are actually, we took some one-on-one clients, so we were doing a lot of, not a lot, but because we can only do so much. I don't want to coach one-on-one 100 people because I can't do that by myself because we have so many other projects going on. So we're moving along with like a group coaching aspect. So we're preparing to launch that in a few weeks. So that'll be fun. We're calling it Be More. And so it's like challenging women and men if they want to, because women are mostly told that they should always be less. So meaning physically, like you should just take up less space because skinny women are pretty. So those are kind of the things and like things that we're told most of our lives. And I think I'm really challenging women to like maybe gain some weight or put on some muscle. So the goal of the program will be to take that group and see how much muscle they can gain and do it as a group together. So it'll be all around getting jacked and tan. I'll be in Canada, so I'll be pretty pale. So,
what about for your personal training, competing?
Yeah, so I actually just hired a coach, which we had been running the program that we kind of market to clients, some kind of variation of it. And Ryan was doing my programming for a long time, but he allows me to get away with some things. Whereas I think if I'm paying another guy to do it, he won't be as lenient. Mm. So I hired Hanny, who lives somewhere on here in California.
Trains here.
Yeah.
Several times a week.
Yeah. So he was a personal friend of mine. And
Hanny Jazz Hands is his name.
Jazz Hands. So he was a personal friend of mine. And I think it took me a while to come around to the idea of hiring someone else just because I had a somewhat negative experience and I didn't really trust anyone else other than Ryan, who I have to trust him because he's my life partner. but yeah, so we talked about it together and discussed and thought it would be good for me as a coach and me as an athlete to bring somebody else in and try something new. So
that becomes a tough week two. I mean, Max could attest to this more so than me, but sometimes coaching the significant other, it gets tough.
Yeah, I think he probably gets more frustrated with me than I do him. Right? Yeah.
Well, Canadians they're known for their short temper
and rudeness.
He's really nice. We get along very well, but I think it's all his personality traits and his effort, not me at all. I'm the hot-headed one of the group. So, but yeah, it's not so bad, but it'll be nice to have a little break. And because we're also business partners, so he helps me run Strong Friends business stuff. So, and we live together and we hold hands.
Oh my.
So it's a lot of contact there.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Well, I know that you guys haven't seen each other in 3 weeks, so
we haven't.
We could probably wrap this thing up.
No, we're staying at Pope's house, so I think we shouldn't. We should just never mind.
Well, if people don't already know, where can they find you?
You can find me on pretty much every social media platform at Make Squats. I more regularly post on Instagram and YouTube, and YouTube is just youtube.com/makesquats, or you can check me out on strongstrongfriends.com. We have like some freebies you can get there, and other things you can learn more about me, and that's it.
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, max_Ada, or you can email me, max@JTSStrength. If you have questions about the Juggernaut online coaching or anything related to Team Juggernaut.
And I'm Chad Wesley Smith, at Chad Wesley Smith and at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram, filling up your news feeds all day. As far as events we have coming up, I'm not 100% sure what day we're going to put this podcast out on, but I think this weekend I'll be in Texas for the Juggernaut Performance Summit with Dr. Quinn Hennock, Dr. James Hoffman, and Dr. Mike Isratel. So store.jtsstrength.com under events. And then other upcoming things like weightlifting meet here at Juggernaut HQ in June, a powerlifting meet. Both of these meets are called the Juggernaut Summer Showdown, one USAW and one USAPL. Creative naming. Good job, Chad, on that. You can sign up for both of those. The powerlifting meet will be in August. Max and I will be doing dueling clinics in Texas the first weekend in June. Beautiful, fun, cool Austin. Boring, shitty, ugly College Station.
Oh.
Sorry.
Poor you.
At Brazzers Barbell.
You won't be distracted by the beauty outside. You'll be more inclined to learn.
So sign up for those. And if you like the podcast, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, write us a funny review. I always like seeing those. The one posted today
was
a pretty good one.
That was a good one.
And like the video, subscribe to the channel. Almost to 100,000. By the time that this is out, we might have 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah. I told you it all changes from there.
Yeah.
What happens then?
The sponsorship money just starts pouring in. You won't know what to do with it.
There's a plaque?
Yeah, you do get a plaque.
We have to order it.
It's a silver play button.
You have to pay for it?
No, I don't have to pay
for it. No, but you have to give them your address and all.
Shipping and handling? They charge you
Maybe you have to pay shipping and handling. Wow. It gets to be pretty pricey.
Like a million followers.
You get a diamond.
Then you're rich. So
you get a diamond.
Who has the most followers on YouTube?
PewDiePie. 53 million.
53 million?
Something nuts like that.
What does that channel do?
What do they do?
You got to check it out. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, better be 53 million fucking subscribers. All right. So that is another episode of The Jug Life. Tell your friends about it. Thanks for watching.